listening to Women Who Change Tech, the podcast that gives you access to women who are contributing, inspiring, trailblazing, and disrupting the business of technology. We believe that when women inspire other women, amazing things happen. I'm your host, Allison Wade.
And I am your host, Jessie Sterenshoes, and we are connecting women around the world to share ideas that help us thrive and advance in our personal lives and in our careers.
Be sure to share this podcast with your friends, rate and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and help us bring Women Who Change Tech into the lives of more professionals.
Hold on to your seats as we give you a dose of inspiration from some of the most talented and creative women who are shifting the face of technology. Allison, what have you been up to lately?
Well, you know, just a little bit of Germany and Paris, and that's all. Nothing much.
Can you, like, do a little bit more with your life, please?
Yeah, I know, right?
What were you doing there?
Well, I had an amazing time. I went to Agile Testing Days in Germany, and it was truly so much fun. I love that conference. It's in Potsdam, Germany. And it's just a blast. The Agile community and group of people that are there are so amazing. The conference is incredible. It's like a 24/7 festival. There's something going on literally 24/7. So I think I got about 3 hours sleep for about three nights in a row because there's literally always a conversation going on somewhere in the hotel. And then after that, I took my teenager with me and we did a little bit of 2 days in the Black Forest and we did Paris and came home for Thanksgiving.
Nice. That sounds really fun. I just got back from LA. I got to do a keynote at RubyConf, which was really cool. I was excited to see all of the people that I feel like I kind of got my start with the Improv Effect. So when I first started my company, I had a lot of clients that were Ruby developers. So it was kind of like going to like my hometown visit, if you will, you know, when you go back and see all the people that you got started with. I was super nervous the night before. It was really in my head. I was kind of doing circles around my my hotel bed. Like, I think I probably made imprints with my heels in the floor.
Oh no, was your inner critic in full swing?
My inner critic was out and like ready to like, I don't even know what, but luckily it went off without a hitch. I made it without having to like pull out the trap door and the floor, whatever. It was good. I really enjoyed seeing people, some that I haven't seen in a decade, and enjoyed being in LA. So everything went off great and I enjoyed the opportunity.
That's awesome. Of course it did. You're an amazing speaker. You do an incredible job.
Thank you. If only you had been there the night before. My inner critic wanted to tell me all sorts of great things about how awesome of a speaker I was not.
You know, that's the amazing thing about speakers is everybody that I talk to, no matter how great you are, there's always this conversation that goes on your head, either before or after you speak, that sort of is like, can I really do this? Am I really that good? And the truth is, yes, you are.
Yeah, it is interesting what we go through in order to put that, get up there and put ourselves in those situations. But it is worth it. And there was actually three women keynotes, which I was excited to see in the tech community. A lot has changed in the Ruby community. So to have three women keynotes, I thought was really incredible. They did a really great job. And the other two keynotes were fantastic.
That's awesome. Especially in that community. That's really, really awesome.
Yeah.
It's the same at Agile Testing Days. They've always had a track record of having a ton of really great female speakers. And then on the last night of the conference, we had a Women and Allies night. And that was, I mean, we have to talk to Kristen today. So I'll have to tell you more about that later, but maybe in another conversation we can talk about that. It was truly amazing. And I need to get some of these women on the podcast to talk. It was a really incredible experience.
I can't wait to hear more about it. Nice.
So tell me about Kristen.
I will. So I want to introduce everyone to Kristen Brillantes today. She's our guest. She is a woman who is a go-getter. She's inspiring other entrepreneurial women. She's always finding ways to help people meet and connect other women on a deeper level. I first met Kristen in person at the Female Founders Meetup in San Francisco in 2015. This is an organic networking series for female founders, investors, and mentors in the entrepreneurial community. It started as a casual get-together of female founders to share ideas, challenges, and advice with one another. You can find Kristen in front of the room, facilitating workshops, or behind the scenes, coaching and collaborating with executives and teams to evolve the way they work. She understands the intersection of craft, productivity, and relationships, and does whatever it takes to empower people and build resilient, high-functioning organizations. Welcome, Kristen.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing really well.
That is awesome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for inviting me.
Hi, Kristen. It's so awesome to meet you virtually.
Yes.
It's really early in the morning in California, so thank you for being a person that's up early. And I understand you've just been in Paris.
I was taking a little break in between jobs, and you and I were ships in the night. Well, sort of.
I know that.
We're both ships.
That's hilarious. Like, I know, I understand that you were like at the Eiffel Tower, like the day I was walking by it. And, you know, like, it's so weird that we were like so close and didn't know it.
Yeah. I guess that's like life though, right?
Absolutely. It's like this Kevin Bacon, always these like 3 degrees of separation, right?
Yeah.
Is it 3 degrees or is it 7 degrees? I don't know. It's like one of those degrees.
I just know that somehow we all are friends with Kevin Bacon.
That's right. Somehow.
He's like Tom. Is that his name? Tom on MySpace? Your first friend.
Totally.
Yes. Yes.
If you believe in Kevin Bacon, you'll know that you're truly never alone in the world.
That is true. He's done that for all of us, right? He's connected us. You should make a card about that in your game.
Oh my God, I should. How do you think that you're connected to Kevin Bacon?
That's right. So Kristen, you're an entrepreneur, and I understand that you just finished working at Google Ventures and that you're about to take on a new job. So can you give us a little bit of background and tell our listeners about yourself and about your work history and things like that?
Yeah, so I just finished basically like an 8-year stint in the Googleverse. My last stop was at Google Ventures, working on the design team, heading up ops for them. And one of our portfolio companies, Stripe, is also, well, one of the companies I think that we've worked with that has a pretty sophisticated design ops philosophy, point of view, maybe. And they were looking for someone to help head that up for them. So I'm going to just be transitioning over. So still staying somewhat in the Google Ventures family, but now on the portfolio side. So I'll be over there. And then outside of my tech job, I also run a food truck. We've been doing that for 2 years. And then also sideline, we're like going down the funnel of Kristen. I also run a very small private coaching practice for other women who are just trying to start and grow their own either side businesses or like full-fledged businesses, and also do a little bit of relationship coaching.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a lot of stuff. Really cool. You sound like you've got your fingers in a lot of pies and lots of pieces of life. That is really cool.
Yes.
You mentioned one thing, design ops, mm-hmm. This is your new path, right? Is that you're going fully into at Stripe to the design ops. Can you tell us a little bit about what design ops is so our listeners understand that?
Yeah. So design ops, it's sort of this new-ish, I think it's like always existed, but like different companies have called it different things. It's either you've been like a program manager in design, or you were maybe like a producer or coordinator. Like there are all these different kinds of titles people have used, but basically it's actually formalizing a discipline within like a product design field that covers three areas, which is like the business operation, the people operation, and the creative operation. So I think in the past, you would maybe ask product designer or like a design manager would have to be overlooking all those things. And now, like, I think it's moving more in the direction of having like somebody who's dedicated to having ownership and accountability over that. Similar to how before there used to be just one track to becoming a manager. Mm-hmm. And that if you were like an individual contributor, they're like the only way you could keep growing in your career is to all of a sudden people manage. But then people started to realize that like management is a completely different skill set. You can't just like grow into that. I think the same thing is happening in the operations side, that like if you're a true craftsperson and you really just want to design and you want to grow in an IC function, you need like an operations partner to kind of help support the work that you do.
Yeah, that's a great option. I feel like that's a really big problem in a lot of companies, that you'll find that there's a lot of people sitting in management positions that are not people, yeah. Right?
And same thing with operations. And I don't even think it's specific to design. Like when I was talking to the folks at Stripe or even like the folks at GV about the role, I'm actually pretty new to like the design industry. I've only been in it for like 4 years. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, I was doing ops and was more of like a chief of staff type of role in marketing. Mm-hmm. We had this conversation about like, to do design ops, do you need to have like design experience? And so I think you're just seeing across the board that even in marketing or other departments, like people are just needing someone in a role where they're like helping, I don't need to do like traffic control and also keeping an eye on like team culture, team heartbeat, like how's everybody doing? Mm-hmm. Like, are we actually mapping out our people plan against like business goals? Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to start seeing more of that across the industry and across disciplines, just as like more companies are starting to build more conscious cultures. I don't think it's just about like grinding and doing work. Like we actually want to work smarter, not just harder. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. How would you describe conscious culture? Yeah, what do you
like, I love that term.
Yeah, I think it's like leaders of companies don't want it to just be like an afterthought. Like they don't want reorgs to just happen to them. Like it's almost like they're doing urban planning now for their companies and paying attention to how people experience work and not just make work or produce work. So I think like the consciousness part of it is that people are paying attention to it and they're proactively nurturing it instead of waiting to see like what happens.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We've kind of been very product focused and we forget about the human side of that product. And so that's a really good way of putting it. I really like that urban planning for your company and focusing on the experience of working and not just the working portion.
Yeah. And I think that's why I've been drawn to doing ops more in like the design space, because of that people first type of perspective in design, like user first. Like in your company, like your employees are also like your users of just like the company experience. So I think the design org is kind of nicely positioned to be the people who help like design the experience of the folks on the team. So at GV, I collaborated a lot with like our talent partners, and we would talk to like our portfolio companies about like, all right, well, how are you designing the right people programs to make sure that people are happy, healthy, and really productive in your workplaces?
I like that. Nice. Tell us a little bit about how you got into doing a food truck.
Yeah, super random. I'm going to try to give you like the TLDR, because if you wanted to read the whole story, it's on our, we have one blog post on our blog. And it really is just like answering like the how we got started, because that's like the number one question we get asked. But I run it with my partner, who is my partner in all things, also life partner. And he is a chef, but he used to work in tech, One Medical, and realized that he just wasn't really that passionate about HR. And so he decided, well, there was like a few different things he was interested in, but then he was really drawn to cooking. So he just like decided to take a leave and go do that. And then he ended up working actually at Google with their catering program. And then we kind of hit a junction point where we were deciding to either get engaged or not. And so in true Kristen form, we talked about like not doing a traditional proposal. So we always talked about writing up like, this is what we think like the next 5 years of our lives will look like. And then it should be like a mutual proposal. And so as we're kind of like going through this exercise, we were looking at like, oh my God, it costs so much money to get married and like get engaged. And I was like, well, this is like the same cost as, I also kind of just like write business plans for fun. And so we were like, this is like the same cost as like starting up a food truck. And so we were like, well, maybe we should just do that instead. So oh my God. We were like having lunch. We were kind of like rabbit holing about like, what is the right thing to do if you really wanted to like do your own thing? And then I said to him like, okay, if we can find a turnkey food truck, I'm going to just buy it for you. And then we like opened up Craigslist. And then it was like, I kid you not, fifth listing down, it said turnkey food truck in Soma. And I was like, are you serious?
This is destiny. This is destiny, babe.
A little bit. And then we kind of freaked out because we were just shooting the shit. I was like, you know, I was just trying to like end the conversation because we were just talking about all the things that could go wrong. And then we emailed thinking like, oh, it's probably already taken, like a turnkey food truck in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. That's like a hot commodity.
Right.
And they emailed us right away and they said, can you come see it on Sunday? Like, oh my God, this is not happening. And after that, it kind of just waterfalled. Like every hesitation we had, there was like this pretty seamless gift from the universe of like, for example, neither of us are great at marketing, right? We're pretty introverted people and we've never had to do that. And so we were talking to the guy who owned the food truck. It's located in a food park and they have like a marketing team. We're like, oh, okay, cool. So, you know, just like
everything like solves that problem, that objection.
Yeah. Even our open date, we were debating like, well, when should we actually purchase it? And when should we actually be open? And we have this crazy story of we had to open in 6 days because that Saturday there was a big lumpia festival and lumpia is like one of the well-known dishes of Filipino culture. So it's a Filipino food truck. And the park owner was like, you have to be open for that. We're like, oh my God, but how?
So you did it? So yeah, you got up and running in 6 days?
We did it. We got all the permits. We did everything in 6 days. It was
this needs to be a movie.
Crazy.
Did That's you get incredible. A movie deal yet? No. Did you look up a Craigslist if you could get a movie deal?
Oh my God. I don't even.
Seriously, yeah. I thought you were going to say that you used the food truck as a marriage test because like I was married before my first husband and I, we backpacked around the world together. And at the end of it, we did 12 months. And at the end of it, we said, gee, it's been really nice being married to you. See you later. Because
yeah, goodbye.
Goodbye. Because when you're like that intensely together and doing stuff together, you find out really quickly if you're going to be compatible. So yeah. I thought you were like saying, we're going to use this food truck as like a successful gauge for how marriage is going to go.
Well, no, you know, it's funny. I don't really see, I have boundaries, obviously, but I try to live life really fluidly. So a lot of the stuff that I do around like team development and like manager development at work, I totally bring into my personal life. So we've been together for a long time. And ever since the beginning, we've been doing like these exercises together. Like we do yearly offsites together. We do quarterly check-ins. We do like OKR setting both individually and as a couple. So even we never were like, yeah, one day we're going to own a business together. But we just knew from the start that we wanted it to be more of a partnership and not just... Mm-hmm. Not just a romantic relationship. Like, you know, when you're building a life together, you need to have that same skill set that you bring to other organizations. So it kind of just happened naturally and with a lot of hard work too. I mean, not every offsite was like fun. I mean, there's always like the hard parts, but those are, I think, the moments where you get to test if the hard work is with someone that you enjoy doing it with. So the food truck has been an interesting experience in that sense too. There's all these like new things that we're learning, but because we had a good foundation of self-awareness and like paths for communication, it's made things smoother than, or it just made like the hard parts of running a truck fun and smooth.
Yeah. Do you play your Know Your Human card game?
Yeah. Well, you know, we broke like the user testing rule, like don't test on your family and friends. We tested with our family and friends like crazy. So I really know this human very well.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Tell our audience a little bit about your game.
Yes. So two friends and I, their names are James and Corey. Shout out to James and Corey, my besties.
What?
We at one point, we all met somehow through Google, even though we didn't really like actually work together. And we connected over the part where, not the part, but like the concept that as you're getting older, it's like really hard to deeply connect with people in an organic way. So we were talking about how like people are, your friends are dating new people and like, how do you integrate them faster? And again, in a more natural way, so you're not getting like the wrong impression about them. Or how do you make things like family parties during the holidays just a little bit more interesting and less routine? And so this card game actually was birthed out of, we thought that we were going to be like a experience design company and we were going to plan all these like crazy underground events when placemaking was really becoming a thing. And we threw this New Year's Eve party. And there was one part of the party that became a big hit, which was at the entrance, we did a tattoo parlor. But it was like obviously fake tattoos, but the tattoo book was filled with these questions. And then so the guests were both tattoo artists and tattoo client. And so you would sit with someone and then you would pick a question out of the book, like, and you would answer it. And then the other person would draw like a tattoo of what that like symbolized on your body.
God, that is so cool.
And it was like a cool icebreaker. And so that ended up being the thing that everybody talked about and remembered. And so we basically took that and tried to turn it into a game because we were just thinking about, there's only so many parties that you can plan. I mean, it took us hours to do this thing. We're like, this isn't scalable. Right. And to have, to be able to create a way for more people to have that kind of experience, even if it was just 5 minutes, we were deciding like, okay, maybe a game is a way to do that. So we ended up creating this game called Know Your Humans. And it sort of like truth or dare mixed with like friendly competitions, mixed with like Cards Against Humanity in terms of like gameplay structure. And yeah, and it's just like an easy way for people to get to know one another deeply in less than 20 minutes.
Yeah. Thank you for sending me a deck. We played it at Thanksgiving, actually. My family played the game and we had such a good time. So I think what we loved about it, it's so cleverly orchestrated because there are some really deep, very thoughtful questions. And then mixed in, we had like laughter to the point of tears, which I thought was so nice. Like, so we answered questions about friendships and life philosophy, and then followed by like secret handshakes where we each added on like part of a handshake. And it was like hysterical. Like my dad, like we were going around the table adding, and at one point my dad was, we were all laughing so hard, we were crying. My dad started wheezing. It's like, he's going to need his inhaler. Like it was awesome. Like falling off the chair, laughing so hard. My dad couldn't get words out of his mouth because we were just, it was hysterical.
Yeah. And what I think I love about the game is that it really creates psychological safety for people. Like you really opt into like how deep you want to go.
Right.
And then when you're playing multiple rounds, it's interesting to see what someone chooses to play because it just might surprise you. Like I remember when I was testing it with my parents, like they actually wanted to share a lot more than I would have asked them to share.
Right.
And after that moment, or after that game, then in future, like hanging out with my parents, I felt like I finally had like social permission to ask them deeper questions about who they are, their relationship, like what they wanted in life. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. You kind of just like see people in a slightly different way because they're showing you that they're willing and wanting to share.
Yeah. Well, we also like the next day, we kind of had like a callback, if you will, where we kind of at one point just, we were at a restaurant and we kind of did a little part of the handshake. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We just needed a little like inside joke pick me up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of nice. Like it was like we all had a special little inside language that we spoke.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Connection. So, which I am, I'm all about play and how many barriers it breaks and connections it can make with people. So, yeah, it's a really great game. Highly recommend it. So thank you.
Yeah,
helping me connect with my family.
Hey, I'm glad you played.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I got the cards too, and I had them out on the table and fully intended to play them, but Thanksgiving got slightly derailed by a, so 20 years ago, my family and I, we have friends that are close, like family. And because my family's in Australia, my husband's family's in Poland, but we have a group of friends that we've hung out with since these kids were little teeny tots and now they're grown up adults. And we did this watermelon spitting competition where you spit the seeds out and see how far you can go. Uh-huh. We did that like when the kids were like 6 or 7. And I don't know, my husband was like scraping the seeds out of a pumpkin and suddenly it came up like, we should have a pumpkin spitting seed. And before I knew it, everybody was like out on the sidewalk. There was chalk, there was lines drawn up, there was tactics going on. And then we each had 3 rounds to see who could spit the seeds the furthest. And I'm happy to say I'm still the reigning champion. Wow. 20 years later, my technique is still good.
Note to self, do not.
I picture you like spin. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Like, do not
get close.
Or like, do not piss off Allison and think that you can say something to her and run away because she can spit things pretty far.
That's right. You're gonna get a pumpkin seed in the head.
She's like on the Eiffel Tower,
right?
Yeah. Like, what is that? Is it raining?
Did something just hit my head? Oh, it must be Allison. Hey,
it's Allison.
Allison, what's up? But I have to say that game was inspired by my husband. And that sort of stuff, like you said, is so much fun. It breaks down so many barriers. And like we've been talking about this for years and all of the tradition and the championships and the competitiveness. And it's just so much fun to have stuff like that in your life.
It can be so simple too. It doesn't have to be anything complicated to have, to be powerful and to be a tradition that you do with people to go deep or to be playful. Yeah. It doesn't have to be overcomplicated. Yeah.
And it doesn't have to always be one thing all the time. It doesn't have to be always serious or always playful. Like they can all coexist in the same moment.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Kristen, I'm interested. You have like some seriously deep insight about human nature and the way people work together. Is that something that you know from who you are and how you grew up, or is that something you learned? Did you study that at some point? Or I mean, how did you gain a lot of this knowledge that you have?
I don't know if it's a deep insights, but
oh, it is. Trust me, it really is.
I grew up in a big family, and we've kind of talked about this a little bit before, and I'll try to remember what I said, but I grew up in a really big family and I've always been drawn to being around people, even though I'm more of like the shy type, but I kind of grew up in two cultures. So I'm Filipino American, and to my parents, it was really, really important to them that I understand and learn my heritage in a fully immersed way. So every summer and during the holidays, my mom would take us to the Philippines and kind of just like leave us there for 3 months and then 1 month. So I don't know if that was really for us or for her, but thanks, Mom. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting because when I was there, I loved being in Filipino culture, but I never really fully fit in because I would always be identified as like the American kid. And then when I was back here in the States, I grew up in a neighborhood where I was the only Filipino person. And it kind of like boggled my mind that like nobody knew what I was. So in both communities, I was connected, but never really felt like I fit in. And so growing up in that kind of environment, I always like paid attention to like, how do I fit in and how do I not fit in? And what impact did that have on me? And then so when I started being more integrated and had to take on more of like leadership roles in organizations, like in college or at work, I always tried to pay attention to who is the person that feels like the most left out, or who potentially has the ability to be the person who's most left out, because it would be such a shame and a waste for them to not participate because they feel like they cannot, or like they don't feel appreciated, or they don't feel integrated and not assimilated. And I want to make sure that like that's really clear, like actually integrated where they can be just themselves and contribute who they are in their experience. And so because of that, then I've always been kind of drawn to like people programs or doing things like organizations, like working like Google's like women's organization, just like any kind of space where it's trying to like pull people in, because that was something that I really craved when I was growing up. Like I wish that there were more instances when I was really impressionable where somebody said to me like, hey, it looks like you're not engaged. Like why? And like come in, versus having to either put it on myself to like like really step outside of my comfort zone. Or, mm-hmm. and you know, I also like ended up taking some like self-development classes. Like when I decided to become a coach, it was specifically for that reason of trying to like build more harmony on teams. But then the funny trick about coaching programs is you're your first subject. So you end up going through like the whole coaching program yourself. And this is where I learned a lot about how a lot of that experience when I was younger impacted kind of these like first urges I had whenever I found myself in a group setting, or whenever I found myself in a setting where like I have to operationally make these people work together. And it wasn't even like because somebody told me to, but like you really just want people to like work better together because you see the magic that happens when they do. Yeah. And then you see the quality of work that happens when they don't.
Yes.
So right. In particular, like I remember when I first started at Google Ventures and I saw the portfolio of companies, we have a lot of life science companies that we invest in. And like, we really do believe in investing in companies that are making the future better. I just kept thinking to myself, like, what a waste it would be if the cure to cancer was left on the floor because these people couldn't work better together. Or if this person who had amazing potential could one day be a founder themselves never got there because their manager was like a shitty person to them.
Right.
I think because of seeing like the potential of like worst case scenario, this sounds so negative as I'm saying this. I don't know, you're just like kind of trying to be preventative and be like, well, what are the things that we can do to make sure that people are happy and healthy and like making good things for the world?
No, that's like incredibly valuable because you have that perspective because that was you. So you can't like, you have deep understanding of that. So you're able to turn that into something positive. So there's nothing negative about that. I think that's incredibly awesome.
Yeah. And I think also like there's this interesting thing that I keep reflecting on of, how did this happen to me in my career and in my position? Because I found that growing up, like my parents had us later in life. Like my mom was 38 when she had me. So I was always the youngest. Here's like another category of how I always felt kind of out of place. But I've always been the youngest person in the room, either in my family setting or even when I first started my job at Google. Like I was the youngest person on my team, maybe by like 8 to 10 years. And so you just hear a different level of conversation and it's almost like you are previewing like the outcomes of things. Oh, wow. But then it also kind of fed into me feeling like I have nothing to contribute here. Like I'm the most junior person here. Like, what am I going to, like, who am I? Like, what am I supposed to even do here? Mm-hmm. But I think there was one reframe I had when I was in my coaching program where somebody asked me like, but how could that work to your advantage? And this is where I really fell in love with the intersection of kind of like coaching and design and people is in my coaching program. I said like everyone is teacher and student. And so I just embraced the fact that I was always the most junior person. And I just embraced the fact that I'm always a beginner. And I just started asking questions. And it's interesting how like the power of questions, like if you're asking me like, how do you get all these insights? I'm like, I think maybe I just have a lot more data because I'm taking the time to like get to know people. You're taking the time to just observe and note like, okay, well, there was this interaction. Like, what was the outcome? Now, did I see that interaction again? Like, what are the patterns you're finding? Mm-hmm. And before I knew it, I was kind of doing the design process on people without even knowing it. And then when I found myself in the design field, I was like, oh my God, design and coaching are so similar.
Right.
Or like design, coaching, and people management are so similar. Like it really is just trying to get a good understanding of what's happening. Is it a pattern? Deciding on what could be potentially the right solution. And then just also understanding that it's a forever evolving process. So like nothing will be like the perfect solution, but what would just be the right thing to test for now. And so when you have that perspective on like all the things in your life, even if it's like dinner or what am I going to do for my mom's birthday? It kind of just makes everything feel lighter because you're like, nothing's permanent. Everything's just a process. You're just like designing every experience as you go.
That's awesome.
For yourself and the people around you.
I love that. You just blew my mind.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, I don't know what I just said, but
but it should be like a talk.
Kind of blacked out for a second.
Yeah, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, it should be a talk. That's a really great talk.
That is a really great talk. I just wrote down what you said and I was like, this should be a talk, tell Kristen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I just consider yourself told. Yeah. I just told you.
Yeah.
So in our podcast, we like to do a game. And since you have a game.
Yes.
Typically, we put the game in there, but we'd like you to put your game in here. Could we do like a card from your game? Maybe like the zombie question or something?
Yeah.
So do you remember how it was, what the card said? And we could all answer it.
I think it's something like, what about you would help you survive the zombie apocalypse?
Yes.
What about who you are, yes. I think is the right phrasing, yes. would help you survive the zombie apocalypse? Yeah,
so we should all answer that question. Allison, do you have any ideas of what would help you survive?
Like thinking of my strengths and they could also be my weaknesses though. So I'm like, I'm a fairly kick-ass kind of person. Like I know how to get shit done, like really get shit done. Like you could put me anywhere, anytime and say, figure this out. And I would do that. But that could also be my downfall. I'm in the zombie apocalypse right now. And I'm just thinking like, would I rush in wildly into places that I should not go? Or like, so it could save me. It could also kill me. My kick-assness could save me and could also kill me. So and that
could also kick you in the ass is what
it
you're
could
saying.
Also kick me in the ass. Yeah. What about you, Jesse?
I was just thinking, I kind of think like improvising is kind of helpful. Like kind of MacGyvering my way out of situations. So like if there's like somebody's limb to be disgusting. Like what else could this limb be? This could be like a paddle. I could like make it into an oar and like get the hell out of there. Like, you know, if I'm on some weird ass island, I could be like, whoop, whoop. Thank you for your limb. It's now a paddle. I need to find somebody's torso to make a canoe. That's disgusting. This is a terrible question. I love it.
Oh my God.
This is so bad, but I mean, see?
See?
I can just make something out of anything, even the grossest of things.
God, please don't let me die around Jesse. I'm going to be
you into a canoe. Watch out.
Their death would not be like wasted though.
No, I mean, I can recycle like nobody's business.
That should be on like your website.
So. LinkedIn
oh
profile.
My God, that's it. I can recycle like nobody's on your business.
All your business cards.
You have to flip it over.
Oh my God.
Put it on your proposals. That should be your end line.
End. Only the three like, of us and all of our listeners will know what that really means.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So like after everything, right? Like, and if all of this was not enough to convince you to hire me, I can recycle like nobody's stuff.
Oh my God. That's the line. That's it. I love that.
That's terrible. And why then did I say that?
And then the proposal could be like on somebody else's proposal and you could just like use the other side. Like
take a Sharpie to it. I use it for my own. See?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See?
Your resume is my canvas.
Same shit tailored to you.
Same shit, different resume. Thank you.
There you go.
Sorry, Kristen, your turn. Please erase whatever I said. Take that off.
So I feel like the three of us would make a great team, right?
God, because I don't know you as a canoe.
Well, that's fine. I'm like, go ahead, use me. Don't let it be.
Don't let my zombie death be in vain.
Yeah, exactly. I would want, if there is a heaven, I would want to look down and be like, look, I still was helpful even after death. So I feel like if I'm like pulling on what helps me survive in today's zombie apocalypse, because you know, like Earth kind of is an apocalypse right now.
Right. True. Sad.
Being able to operationalize and encourage like team harmony. So I'd be like, all right, Allison, you're not sure like if this is the right opportunity to be doing the thing, like we can make a decision matrix.
That's be like, awesome. All right, you're like, here we go. Don't just kick the door down, Allison. Yeah. Let's give this some thought.
Thought. I could do like the strategy parts and then but we could be like, all right, now let's loop in Jesse. Like I'll be the person that's like, how are we going to leverage all of our strengths and build like the ultimate transformer to make sure that the zombie apocalypse is something that we can all thrive in.
You're so much nicer than me. I just like chopped you all up and
what? No, but see, we need that. Yeah, we need, see, like,
exactly.
Okay.
We need all the people. Like, I'm like, yeah, yeah. Like, I'm motivating and yelling and running and crashing and moving the team forward. And and Kristen's saying, "Let's reflect." And
And I'm like, "Let's get the hell out of here."
And you're like, "What can we use?
What can we use?"
Yeah, like Allison's like CEO, Jesse's CTO, and I'm COO. That's how it's all going to work.
Oh my God, this is perfect. This is so perfect. We are ready.
This is the zombie design ops.
Okay, so we need if there's a zombie apocalypse. If this is zombie apocalypse, we need a meeting point. Okay, let's just pull this out now, so that we can all be together to survive.
We get Starbucks.
Starbucks, because you know they'll still be around.
There's definitely gonna be one there.
And then we'll just have to create like some kind of employment program to give the zombies different purpose.
Right. They make the zombie frappuccinos.
Exactly. Perfect. So, you know, we can all live in harmony with the zombies. It doesn't have to be an apocalypse.
Perfect. Well, I think we figured out what we're doing in the future, so that's good.
Yeah, we just made ourselves recession-proof. That's right. For real. For
real. And I recycle like nobody's business.
Exactly. So,
that's good. Holy cow, that was amazing. You guys are so good. So in all
One question. Yeah, so many nuggets of gold.
Yes, what?
We just made a lightweight business plan.
That's for the zombie apocalypse. We did. Zombie apocalypse lightweight business plan. I love it.
So for seriousness and stuff, what is coming up for you, Kristen? What do you have going on other than the zombie apocalypse? What's coming up next for you?
Well, so in 2 hours, I start my job at Stripe.
Today
is my birthday.
Of course.
Woo! And then after, like, outside of that, just we're figuring out ways to, I guess, like, scale the food truck, but in a way that is still aligned with our preferred lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So we've been really like conscious and self-aware about not following the trend of just because you're in the Bay Area and everybody's asking you like, how are you going to grow? How are you going to grow? Like that doesn't always actually align with like the life you want to live.
Right.
So we're about to do, you know, 2019 planning, but for the truck, one of like the exciting new things that we'll be doing is we just announced that we're going to be one of the vendors that is going to be in the new Chase arena.
Nice.
So there's like a new Warriors arena that's getting built in the city. So we get to be part of that, and we're Bay Area natives, so, and big Congrats. Basketball fans, so that's kind of a dream come true.
Wow.
And then I am trying to not take on more projects, but there's one thing that's really calling me, and that's doing like a couples retreat.
Ooh.
There's a little seed that I'm planting, and now that it's public, it's going to hold me accountable to actually doing it. But a lot of people have heard about kind of like the couples offsites that JP and I do each year, and they've been asking if we can facilitate one. Uh-huh. So I'm planning a prototype. And so that's one fun thing. And then the other thing, also kind of in the coaching space, is I used to do a lot of just like one-on-one coaching with women who are starting their own side businesses. But I want to, in the new year, test out doing it in a group setting, because I've just been finding that doing it in community, practicing a little bit more of what I preach, like the one-on-one is great because I think it gives people like that safety of no one has to see what I'm doing. But there's more magic that happens, I think, when you're doing it in a group setting. Mm-hmm. And there's interesting like sharing of resources that can happen. Mm-hmm. So that's like another thing that I'll be prototyping and testing in the new year.
That's so exciting. Yeah, I love it.
Really incredible.
And non-work related, I'm really hoping that I get to go to Greece.
Yeah, that's great. Greece is amazing. That is on my, I have been only to the islands, and it's been a really long time ago, and it's definitely on my list of things to do again.
Yeah. So, but here I go. Immediately after I said that, I was like, maybe I should do the couples retreat in Greece.
Oh yeah. Totally.
Then it becomes tax deductible.
Yeah, you always, that's what you do. This is a nice tip here for you folks. Think about where you want to go, work backwards from there, and figure out how you can work it into your work thing.
Yes.
And then
truly.
Then you're like, how could I go to that place and/work and/play there?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Yes.
There's one of my mentors, her name is Sally Thornton. She gave me two nuggets of like perspective that I really love and enjoy. Like one is work-life integration.
Yep.
Or no, work-life blend, which is kind of the same as integration.
Yeah.
But then the other is, I think she called them like maximizers or optimizers, but it's like anytime you're about to spend your time, like how do you really maximize or optimize that time by like knocking off more things than one? So it's like this example, right? Like I really want to do a couples retreat, but I also want to go to Greece. And maybe I'm also trying to spend more time with my friends. So it's like, you could make all three of those things happen in one shot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so she gave the advice of like, if you're looking at your calendar during the week and you're trying to see like, how can you make it a little bit more richer in experience and meaning for you? Like, what are some of those opportunities on your schedule where you could like, you know, if you're going for a run, like maybe I invite my best friend, yeah, or nice. If I'm going to be doing a work session at a cafe, maybe instead of a cafe, you do work at like a standing exercise desk. I don't know, but mm-hmm. you kind of get the gist. But
that's awesome. I love yeah. that. I just wrote that yeah. down. That's really cool. So can you tell Ellis and is your blog and your website and your, so where people, if people want to find you and find out about you, or how can they do that?
Yeah. So, well, if you Google my name, there's only one, maybe two of us out there. The other Kristen Brilliantis is a realtor. So you Google me, you probably find me that way. But if you don't want to Google me and you just want to skip that step, go directly to my website. It's bykNB.com. So just bykNB.com. And then the food truck that we run is called the Sarap Shop. So that's Sarap, the sarapshop.com. And you can find me in those two places.
Woohoo! That was so much fun. Thank yeah. you for being on our podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you for being the first thing that I got to do today in my back to reality week.
Oh my God, it's amazing. Stripe is really lucky to have you, by the way. You're gonna kick butt. You're gonna kick ass.
Awesome.
And you're gonna be really great. They are really lucky to have you. And best of luck with your new work role today. That's so cool. You're starting your new job in 2 hours.
Yeah, I know. I'm really excited. You too, if you're here, you have to come have lunch with me.
Absolutely.
So not, you know, the new kid having lunch by herself. Just kidding.
First week, and maybe we can all spit watermelon seeds one day together.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. Because I like to recycle.
That's right. We need to meet up very soon. I can't wait to meet you. I just know that we will. I mean, I just feel it that we will at some point in time. You're awesome, Kristen. Thank you very much for talking to us today.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Wasn't that just incredible? Everything she said, it was like gem, 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 gem. It's hard to summarize anything that she said. I loved when she talked about building a conscious culture, that it shouldn't be an afterthought, that you should experience the connection. She talked about being human-centered, urban planning for people, that we're always a beginner. It was just chock full of amazing insight. It really was.
It was incredible. I mean, Kristen Brilliantis is brilliante. That's all I have to say. She's
totally
amazing.
Brilliante.
I was mesmerized listening to her. She was just incredible. Yeah, I got so much out of that. And I was thinking about our gem that we always say is our takeaway. And I really love the part where she talked about the health of the team. And I think she poses the question, like, what if that, you know, the cure for cancer is left on the floor because someone's got a crappy manager? Like, how can we solve these problems? How can we think about that? What about you? What was your moment that you loved?
I thought when she talked about design process for people and how we are always the teacher and we're always the student, and that there's the power in always being the beginner. There's a power in always asking questions. There's so much to that. And that's such an important thing about being the observer.
Okay. Well, I say this is going to be a long jam, but let's just play all of that because it was really good.
When I first started at Google Ventures and I saw the portfolio of companies, we have a lot of life science companies that we invest in and are like, we really do believe in investing in companies that are making the future better. I just kept thinking to myself, like, what a waste it would be if the cure to cancer was left on the floor because these people couldn't work mm-hmm. better together, or if this person mm-hmm. who had amazing potential could one day be a founder themselves never got there because their manager was like a shitty person to them.
Right.
I think because of seeing like the potential of like worst case scenario, this sounds so negative, but as I'm saying this, I don't know, you're just like kind of trying to be preventative and be like, well, what are the things that we can do to make sure that people are happy and healthy and like making good things for the world?
No, that's like incredibly valuable because you have that perspective because that was you. So you can't like, you have deep understanding of that. So you're able to turn that into something positive. So there's nothing negative about that. I think that's incredibly awesome.
Yeah. And I think also like there's this interesting thing that I keep reflecting on of how did this happen to me in my career and in my position? Because I found that growing up, like my parents had us later in life. Like my mom was 38 when she had me. So I was always the youngest. Here's like another category of how I always felt kind of out of place. But I've always been the youngest person in the room, either in my family setting or even when I first started my job at Google. Like I was the youngest person on my team, maybe by like 8 to 10 years. And so you just hear a different level of conversation. And it's almost like you are previewing like the outcomes of things.
Wow.
But then it also kind of fed into me feeling like I have nothing to contribute here. Like I'm the most junior person here. Like, what am I going to, like, who am I? Like, what am I supposed to even do here? Mm-hmm. But I think there was one reframe I had when I was in my coaching program where somebody asked me like, well, how could that work to your advantage? And this is where I really fell in love with the intersection of kind of like coaching and design and people is, and my coaching program is that like everyone is teacher and student. And so I just embraced the fact that I was always the most junior person. And I just embraced the fact that I'm always a beginner. And I just started asking questions. And it's interesting how like the power of questions, like if you're asking me like, how do you get all these insights? I'm like, I think maybe I just have a lot more data because I'm taking the time to like get to know people. You're taking the time to just observe and note like, okay, well, there was this interaction. Like, what was the outcome? Now, did I see that interaction again? Like, what are the patterns you're finding? Mm-hmm. And before I knew it, I was kind of doing the design process on people without even knowing it. And then when I found myself in the design field, I was like, oh my God, design and coaching are so similar.
Right.
Or like design, coaching, and people management are so similar. Like it really is just trying to get a good understanding of what's happening. Is it a pattern? Deciding on what could be potentially the right solution. And then just also understanding that it's a forever evolving process. So like nothing will be like the perfect solution, but what will just be the right thing to test for now.
You've been listening to Women Who Change Tech, the podcast that connects you to extraordinary women for deep, inspiring conversations.